All right, good morning, church. How you doing? Welcome to those out on the patio. I see you guys. Little wave. Glad that you're here. Absolutely one of us right now, and also those of you worshiping online from wherever you are, we're so glad that you're here worshiping with us. And I just want to tell you, y'all sounded so good today in worship. And I would love to stand up and say this happens every single week, but it doesn't for me, because a lot of times I've got a lot of things and, you know, 35 minutes of a message going through my mind. But this morning, I kind of got a little lost in the worship. And isn't that just a great feeling? Where you just, and for me, the moment was that second song, just all hail King Jesus. I got a little emotional. And my next thought, it was kind of funny. I was like, man, this service is so good. I wonder what the speaker's going to say. I was in the worship service with you. It was like, what's going to come next? And then, of course, then I kind of got rattled. I was like, okay, you're the speaker. Like, you need to figure out what to say real quick. But all that to say, this is a compliment to our worship team. Amen? Like, they lead us to the throne of God each and every week. And I'm so excited. We are in a series. It's called The GOAT. It stands for Greatest of All Time. We're looking at the greatest sermon of all time, the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And have you guys enjoyed this series, like this summer? Like, we're going verse by verse, passage by passage through the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things, this last week in our staff coffee, we were talking about this series, and I had a moment with the Lord this last week where I, thinking about the last couple weeks' messages, in particular, the one on worry, the one on judging, I was struck anew and afresh, and I was thanking God for the timeless truth of His Word. It is timeless truth. It is always relevant. Jesus spoke this passage or this sermon 2,000 years ago, and yet it's so relevant for us even here today. So today's text comes from Matthew chapter 7, and just a reminder, the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and I've challenged you guys, I've invited you guys, you could read through the whole thing, it'll take you like 10 or 15 minutes. And the proof of how relevant it is, listen to these topics in these few chapters that Jesus covers. Law, grace, missions, adultery, lust, love, hate, judgment, marriage, divorce, enemies, the poor, prayer, twice. This is the second on prayer. So Jesus is trying to say something to us about prayer. Anxiety, money, materialism, heaven, hell, all in 10 minutes. You can read through it. And today's text is Matthew 7 at verse 7 in the verses that follow. And here's what it says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now this right here, this is an incredible invitation to pray. And prayer, just for those of you who go, pray, what do you mean by prayer? Prayer is just talking to God. That's what prayer is, just talking to God. And you might be sitting here and go, Pastor, I pray. Like, I talk to God. But this is an invitation to pray more, to pray more regularly, to pray more boldly, to pray more freely. Bible scholar Dale Bruner had this to say about the passage we just read. It says, whenever this passage is read with simple faith, it will take one's breath away. Six different times, in six different ways, Jesus almost begs us to pray and promises solemnly that simple asking receives, simple seeking finds, and simple knocking opens doors. So when we think about this incredible invitation from Jesus to pray, let me just ask you here at the start of the message, how many of you, no judgment here at all, but just, I'm wondering, how many of you pray? Just by an upraised hand, go, yeah, I pray. Pastor, I pray. Okay, pretty much everybody. Let me ask you this question. How many of you believe that your life would be better if you prayed more? Let me see your hand. So again, almost 100% participation. So because of that, here's how I've framed this message based on the passage that we just read. Here's how we're going to start with why we don't pray. Or maybe more accurately for us, why we don't pray more. Because a lot of us just said, I believe my life would be better if I prayed more. So why we don't pray, let's talk about that, to be honest, as church. How we should pray and who we're praying to. These are the things I believe Jesus wants to remind us of in this passage. So first, why we don't pray, or why we don't pray more. And this is not an all-encompassing list, but I'm gonna give you four common reasons why we don't pray and speak to him a little bit. Here's the first one. We don't believe God is there or that he really cares. So we don't pray. Full transparency, sometimes it does feel like God is absent, like he feels distant, he feels silent. Now, he never is absent, of course, but sometimes it does feel that way. I think that's why Jesus says this again in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask, seek, knock, make the ask. It's a step of faith. Here's a second reason why many of us don't pray. We think it's unnecessary because we're in control. Now, if there is one thing we have learned in the midst of this pandemic that we're still in a year and a half later, it is that we are not in control. Amen? We're not in control. We are not masters of our own fate. It does not do us particularly well to try to control everything or manage everything, take everything into our own hands. We're not in control. So Jesus is saying, because of that reality, pray to the one who is. Here's a third reason many of us don't pray. We wonder, what's the point of asking a God who already knows everything? I had someone come to me with this question last week. What's the point of praying if God already knows everything? Put another way, this is probably a question that you've had. It's a big question. It's kind of a theological question. Does prayer change God's mind? Now, I would say, I believe no, it doesn't, because God is not like winging it up there, and we are not his counselor, amen? But if I tweak the question a little bit, would the answer be different? For instance, does prayer change things? I think the answer to that question, according to Scripture, again, we talked about this a lot last week, we use Scripture to help us interpret Scripture. I think the answer to that question, based on what I see in God's Word, the Bible, Scripture, is absolutely yes. I could think of many examples, but one who we just preached a whole series on a few months ago, the Old Testament prophet Elijah. Now, Elijah's talked about in the New Testament, the book of James, half-brother of Jesus, and here's what God's word says about Elijah, how prayer changes things. Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Sounds like that prayer changed some things. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. It seems like when we pray, it changes things. There's a couple other examples you might remember from that Elijah series. He was living with a widow and her son. Her son became ill and actually died. So then he went up and he laid prostrate over this dead son, and he prayed, Lord, for the glory of your name, will you raise this boy from the dead? And we see he prayed three times over him, called out to God, and there we see the first recorded bodily resurrection from the dead in Scripture. Short while later, he prayed, Lord, so that people would turn back toward you, he called down fire from heaven. He said, would you burn up the sacrifices of the false god Baal? This is Elijah on Mount Carmel. This is 1 Kings chapter 18. You can read about it. And he calls down fire, and right after he prays that prayer, fire comes down from heaven, burns up all the sacrifices, and soaks up all the water that he had poured out to create a moat, just to prove a point that our God is powerful, and it seems that prayer changes things. I recognize these questions are theologically complex, but if you look at Scripture, it seems like we have to acknowledge that our prayers do work, and they're somehow woven into God's sovereign action. And yet we don't pray sometimes. Here's a fourth reason why we don't pray. We're cynical because of past unanswered prayers. This one, full transparency, guilty. I look back on seasons of my life where I had a cynical attitude about prayer, and I'm like, it's because my prayers weren't answered. Or maybe big ones, like for an extended period of time, they weren't answered. Scholar Scott McKnight said this about the subject. He says, sometimes hope lags behind our petitions, and sometimes hope sustains us. But I keep on praying because I believe God is good, Sometimes it is discouraging, and I'd be a liar if I didn't admit it. So I look at this and I go, yeah, that describes my prayer life. Sometimes it's filled with hope. Yes, Lord, you're gonna answer this. I'm fired up. I just know you're gonna answer this. Sometimes my hope lags behind. All right, Lord, I have not seen much traction on this prayer request. I'm gonna throw it up there again. And I'm gonna keep praying. Why? Mostly because I believe God is good. We'll come back to that at the end. But I love the honesty here. Sometimes it's discouraging. And I'd be a liar if I didn't admit it. It does not take much for me to think of the most discouraging season of my life where I became a little bit cynical because of unanswered prayer. And it was when my mom passed away from cancer. This last week was the 6-year anniversary of her passing. And I was like, yeah, that was the season. For sure. And for the first part of that season, it looked really good. She got diagnosed with colon cancer. They did a bunch of treatment. They said, we're gonna have a surgery. We're gonna take it out with margin. And they did. And about 4 or 5 months in, the doctor came out. I remember where I was sitting. And he said, she is cancer-free. Praise God. He's answering our prayers. We went back for the first scan, the first follow-up. They do the whole scan. And it was like this. Whoa. Spots. Like lots of spots. All over the place, spots. Well, what do you mean spots? Well, it's not just colon cancer. Now it's stomach cancer and lung cancer and brain cancer. It's everywhere. It's out of control. It's lit up. Some of you have been there. Over the next 12 months, it was pretty rapid decline. And again, this last week, it was 6 years since she passed away. So I was thinking about her a lot over the last couple of weeks. And I even said, I had a couple sad days. I was crying one day. I said, Lord, man, I really miss my mom. And I miss the memories that she would just love some of these, creating some of these memories with our boys as they grow old. And Jesus, he's so gracious, as I was kind of like, hey, on the precipice of being a little cynical because of the unanswered prayers, Jesus says, can I ask you a question, Tyler? Do you really think she'd be happier with you than she is with me? And the honest answer was, no, Lord, you're right. She's in the best possible place that she can be. Now that reminds me of a quote from Tim Keller about answering prayers, and here's what he says. God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knew. Does that make sense? So reasons why we don't pray, I gave 4 of them. Now let's look at how we should pray based upon this passage from the Sermon on the Mount. Go back to verse 7. Ask. How should we pray? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. How are we supposed to pray? It's pretty clear. I put them all in yellow for you. It's repetitive. So you know when there's repetition, he's probably trying to make a point. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. How should we pray? With persistence. Ask, seek, knock. It's an incredible invitation. Like the first quote that I read, Jesus is almost begging us to pray. How should we pray? Well, there's another gospel where this story is captured. It's Luke's gospel, chapter 11. And right before Jesus says this same thing, he tells a parable. So let me show you that parable because he illustrates it there. He says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. This is at midnight, remember. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, like you would, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says this, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your, what? Shameless audacity. You are knocking on his door at midnight. Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And then the very next verse, verse 9, Jesus says, so I say to you, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock, because one who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, the door is open. So how should we pray based on that one? With shameless audacity. What an invitation. bold persistence. Now, I asked at the beginning, do you pray? Everybody puts their hands up, yes. If I ask you again, do you pray with boldness and persistence? Do you pray with shameless audacity? Most of you would probably answer no. And if I was honest, I would say no, not often enough. I was thinking this week of someone in my life who is incredibly persistent, who has shameless audacity, and I didn't have to look far. It's my 15-year-old son, Owen. The kid is relentless. He has been his whole life. It's not new. I was thinking back to our bedtime ritual as kids. Now, you get every parent here, grandparent, even students, kids, you know there is such a thing as a bedtime ritual. Some of them work better than others. Different people have different approaches to it. Ours was like, they go to bed, they're in bed. We don't do a whole lot after that. Like, go to bed, that's it. And sometimes we wouldn't even respond, but Owen and Cole, who have shared, they still share a room, they've shared a room their entire lives. Owen and Cole would go to bed, he's 2 years younger than Owen, immediately as soon as his head hit the pillow. But we'd be downstairs and Owen would just sit there, and this kid was relentless, especially if he was hungry, and this is how it would go. Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. What can I have? That's the pace. That's the cadence. I kid you not. So, like good parents, with our good ritual, we would not respond at all. Undeterred, a couple minutes later, did he fall asleep? Mm-mm. Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. What can I have? So then we might respond, Owen, it's night-night time. Go night-night. You're not getting anything. Be a little pause. Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. What can I have? Over and over and over again, night after night after night, Bridget and I were laughing just talking about this ritual that marked that season of our lives. He never raised his voice, never changed his tone, just relentless, shameless in his approach. I ran it through like the reasons we don't pray filter, and I was like, gosh, it's none of those. He definitely believed that we care. He knew that he was not in control, but he was asking the people who were in control. He thought, why not ask? Because if you don't ask, you don't get. And he was not cynical, because whenever he didn't get anything, he would just ask again and again. He was persistent. He was shamelessly audacious. But I want to show you something. It's a video. I dug into the archives for this one. This is going all the way back where Trevor, who's our oldest now, 17, he was almost 4. Owen, who I just mentioned, was almost 2. And Cole was almost new. He was still in Bridget's belly. You could see this in the video. And this is an Easter morning, and Trevor, who has always been really into guitar, is singing an original tune that he wrote, produced, and now performing on Easter morning. So take a look at this. It's less than a minute. What song are you singing? Rose from the dead?
Yeah.
Why? Because today, what's today?
Jesus came alive.
Jesus came alive today. So we say happy
Easter.
Happy Easter.
So I'm saying Jesus came alive again. I'm saying Jesus came alive again.
That makes you happy, huh? So that's Trevor. You might guess the name of the song is Rose from the Dead. It's an original. It's very repetitive. Some of you are thinking, a lot like our songs. Not nice. We love our songs. Barely pictured it there. Like, he just flashed. Remember, he was wearing a life jacket. Was Owen. I want to play that one more time, but shortened. And I want you to listen for Owen's voice, and you tell me if this is not a picture of persistence and shameless audacity of appealing to his father. Listen one more time.
So we say happy
Daddy.
Happy Easter.
So I'm saying Jesus came alive again. I'm saying Jesus came alive again.
Daddy?
And that makes you happy, huh?
You might not have counted, I did, 13 times in 31 seconds. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Did you notice the change in tone? No. Daddy, daddy, daddy. He switched it to dad on the very last one, the 13th one. By the way, this is during a live performance. He's relentless. He's shamelessly audacious. Now, I'm not saying that he's a prayer warrior. Do I pray for him that these qualities would translate into his prayer life? Absolutely. But it's a picture of persistence, of shameless audacity. Is there a magic number of times that you need to say dad or ask, seek, knock until God hears you? No. Is there a formula? No. But don't miss this. What Jesus is saying here is your Father in heaven hears your prayers and he answers them. Your Father in heaven hears your prayers and he answers them. And he answers them one of three ways. He either says yes, or no, or not yet. Those are the answers. It's always one of those three. Yes, no, or not yet. And yet Jesus is encouraging us, commanding, you could say, because he says it six times in these few verses, come to the Father with confidence. Make the ask. It reminds me of the author of Hebrews, one of my favorite verses about prayer and our approach to it. At verse 16, he says, let us then approach God's throne of grace. How? With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't have to limp into the throne of grace because of what Jesus has done. We can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. We can ask, we can seek, we can knock. This is how we should pray. Now, I was thinking over the last week, there's something that I've been praying about for you that you need. I'm gonna tell you about it. And there's something that I wanna ask you to pray about for us that we need. So first, you. I've been praying about this all week. Here's something that you need. Every one of you. 100%. You need connection. You need to be connected to other people. It's the way that you were made. By a God, a creator God, who literally exists for all eternity in community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He exists in community. He created us for community and for connection with one another. And that's what has made, I believe, this last pandemic season so hard, is because we were asked to live in forced isolation. No connection. Don't see your extended family. Don't see your friends. Cover your face. Like, it's been a hard season. No connection with people. This is not how we're supposed to live. Now, it's opening up more. We're still in a dicey season, but we are able to connect. We're able to have programs to reconnect. We have small groups. We have women's ministries. We have men's ministries. We have seniors' ministries. We have student ministries, all relaunching in this season. And you need this. The benefits, you're not supposed to live without community, without strength for storms, without studying and applying God's amazing word to your life, without support and prayers. We're meant to do life together. You need connection. And one thing I've been praying about for you, and really this was my biggest prayer request in that pandemic season, when for a year, literally one calendar year, we did not meet together. Do you remember the crazy stuff we were doing to try to stay connected? Drive-through communion. One time we had your cars pull in here and we did a full worship set to the windshields. Like, you were sitting there, we gave you a radio station. I preached to the cars. I'm like, am I in bizarro world? Like, what is happening? All to try to keep us connected. You need connection. That's why we've set this whole thing. When you leave, find a place, find a way to be connected. We want to help you find your people, like Heather said. That's something you need. I have been asking and seeking and knocking on the doors of heaven on your behalf so that you could experience that. So you don't have to live anymore without it. Now here's something that we need that you might not know about. I'll illustrate it with a story. This last week, we did something where as a session, that's our board of elders here at CPC, our board of elders called session. Our elders, we do a serve project once a year together. And this last week, the serve project that we did is we came, all of us, to Wildside, which is our middle school ministry, to their like end of summer epic bash. And this thing was off the chain. It was massive, like the toys, the vibe. There's huge bouncy houses, there are blow-up toys, there's a two-story slip and slide, an obstacle course, there was a jousting thing, a two-story stalker game, a dunk tank. I got to work at the dunk tank. It was awesome. Plus unlimited burgers, hot dogs, and mac and cheese. Here is the vibe on Wednesday night. It was incredible. We planned for like 75 to 100 people. Would you believe that there was a line of cars all the way down to Diablo Road for drop-off and for pickup later, and there were 190 kids who showed up on Wednesday night. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It was awesome. And so I went to, and Sarah, our middle school director, who is a rock star, I know you're sitting over here, Sarah, she gave a gospel message. I heard stories this week of people who brought their friends for the first time, or they'd been praying for them, come to Wildside. They heard the gospel. They got back and said, this is the first time in my life where I believe God loves me and pursues me. This is where the action is. So I went to Sarah and I was like, okay, that was incredible. We were so honored to serve there, and we did like burgers and hot dogs and mac and cheese and work the games and stuff like that. But I was like, this thing is going off. Like, praise God. Like, what do you need? And she said, it's the same thing for the last few weeks. I've prayed about it. What is it? She said, we need adult volunteers. We need adult volunteers who are just willing. And she said, it's so simple. It's only two things we're asking and praying for God to provide. People who will show up and love kids. Show up and love kids. I thought, I think God can do this. I really believe God can do this. And then I went to Caleb Bonifant, who's our high school director. And I said, what do you need at Rock? He said, it's the same thing that Sarah needs. And I want to pause and just tell you that our directors of middle school and Rock, Sarah and Caleb, are not just two of the best young leaders in our church. They are two of the best leaders in our church. And they run amazing organizations where life transformation is taking place. And I said, okay, I just feel compelled. I don't think our church knows that we need this. We have, how about this problem, church? We have too many kids coming to our student ministries, and we need adult volunteers. And so what I want you to pray about is whether or not this is something that God would call you to do. And I want to be super clear. I was like, Lord, do you really want me to be this clear? He says, yeah, be this clear. I am not asking you to pray that someone does it. I am asking you to pray if you can do it. And so I have been asking and seeking and knocking, Lord, raise up these adult volunteers to love these kids and help them in their journey. And this is the season. Middle school and high school, do every bit of research you want. The real life-changing fork-in-the-road decisions are made in middle school and high school more than any other year. So this is where the action is. This is where the fun is. And so that's what I'm asking you to pray about. And I said, Lord, there's another thing that is on my mind. Do you really want me to share this? And he said, yes, and so I'm going to share it. He said, tell them what I'm about to tell you right now. Ready for this? I am looking at the answers to my prayers. It's in this room. It's some of you. It's not someone else. It's not someone who hasn't come. It's you. So will you pray if God would have that for you? That's all I'm asking you to do. It's a need that I bet you didn't know when you walked in here today. So, I know that was strong. That's okay. You can handle it. Big boys, big girls. People at a church, I really believe this, you really want to know what the needs are of the church. I'm telling you, as your pastor, that's the biggest need we have in this church right now. We need people to mentor our kids. We looked at why we don't pray. We looked at how we should pray. Ask, seek, knock with persistence, with shameless audacity. We'll wrap up with this. who we're praying to. And Jesus reminds us, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil in comparison to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Who are we praying to? We are praying to a good Father. A good, good Father. I think one of the most unloving things that we can do to God, our Heavenly Father, is question his goodness. Put another way, one of the more unloving things we can do to God is question his love for us. He's gone to such great, I'm walking toward the cross, yes. He's gone to such great lengths to show us his love. I gave my son for you. I laid down my life for you. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his stripes, his scars, his wounds, we are healed. What else does God need to show us about how kind, how good, how much he loves us? So I was personalizing this in my own life this week. And I go, man, with our three bold boys who are fast becoming young men, I think, matter of fact, I know, I would much rather them say to me in the heat of a moment or a fight or something, I hate you. And I've heard it. I hate you. I'd rather hear that than, you don't love me, Dad. Don't question my love for you. I'll take the disdain. I'll take the conflict. I'll take the hate, but not questioning my love for them. And the reality is, by comparison, Jesus says to me, you're evil as a dad compared to how good he is. You're evil. I don't think of myself as evil, but Jesus says, by comparison, yeah, that's the difference. That's how good our Heavenly Father is. That's how much he loves us. That's how he loves to give good things. I have to say this. Some of us here, some of you watching at home, this doesn't compute. It's hard to make this connection because of the imperfections of your earthly father. Maybe he didn't like to give you good things. Maybe he did leave you. Maybe he did forsake you. Maybe he was not loving. So you need to hear this right here. God is not the reflection of your earthly father. He is the perfection of your earthly father. Amen? He's absolutely perfect. He's good. He's caring. He's compassionate. He's patient. He loves you and he likes you. He delights in you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's just so good. He's so good. I shared a quote by Tim Keller earlier. Is from his book on prayer. It was actually just the first part of a quote, but I want to share the second part with you. Remember, we started with this. God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knew. In his book, he goes on and he says, more than that, however, we know as we pray for good things that we already have the ultimate good thing in God himself. We have the headwaters and source of all we desire. This is the safety catch on prayer. Without it, wise people, we'd never pray again. Like when we're praying, the best thing that we can get when we go to God in prayer, we ask, seek, knock, daddy, 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 daddy. The best thing we get is God himself. So sometimes I think we pause. This might even be like a fifth reason to throw up on that first four, the reasons we don't pray. We think, well, we have to pray according to God's will. Like we got to figure out what God's will is before we pray. And we even justify it with scriptures like 1 John at chapter 5 at verse 14 that says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, so we got to figure out his will first, then he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we'll have what we asked of him. But is it a game? Is it superstitious? Like, do we need to be more spiritual and figure out God's will before we come to him? I just have to tell you, this is not what I see in the Sermon on the Mount. This is not what I see in Jesus' teaching. I hear our Savior going, no, your job, your invitation, what I'm begging you to do is ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Be shamelessly audacious. Be bold. Be persistent. Daddy, 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 daddy. And so I was thinking this week, I'm like, gosh, thinking about this in my own life, I'm like, thinking about what I pray about. Do you want to know what your pastor prays about, honestly? You want to know what I pray about? Here's the answer. Ready? Everything I want. Anything I want, I pray. And I pray big things, Lord, health and healing and marriage and kids. I pray small things, car keys, parking spaces, conversations, conflict. Just daddy, 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 daddy. And it's almost like I'm playing. Jesus wants us to do this. We're playing the volume game. It's not prosperity gospel. It's proximity gospel. Jesus wants us, come closer to me, because the more time you spend with me, the more praying you do to me, the more you abide in me, the more you become like me. The more your will is, you don't have to figure it out. Your will becomes conformed to my will. Your prayers start, not my will, but thy will be done. He shapes us to be like him when we come to him, when we ask and seek and knock over and over and over again. I mean, this is what we see. Yeah, you can clap for that. This is what we see in Scripture. Think about it. You know this. Many of you are parents and grandparents. You love it when your kids need you. And you grieve it when they start acting like they don't need you anymore. The same is true about our good Heavenly Father. And he says, that, I mean, you love to give good gifts to your kids, and they could be earthly gifts, great family trips, sports equipment, school supplies, whatever. You love to give your kids good gifts. And so Jesus says, we'll wrap up with this. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask, seek, knock. We got to remember who we're praying to. He's just so good. He loves you so much. I'll wrap up with this scripture. There's one verse that is one of the more commonly quoted verses. It's Jeremiah 29:11. It's an amazing verse, an incredible promise. You hear it a lot when people are coming and sharing like their life verse. Here's what it says, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. An incredible promise there. But one of the interesting things is I actually think the promise that comes in the next two verses is even better than that. Here's what it says. Then you will call on me and come pray to me, ask, seek, knock. And what happens? I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is an incredible promise. When we seek him, when we ask and seek and knock, he's not playing hide and seek. He loves to be found. Matter of fact, this is a promise that says he will be found by you when you seek him with your whole heart. Amen? Would you stand and pray, and we'll be on our way here this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the words of your son Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. We thank you for the conviction that you bring when we think of it. And part of that is an understanding, God. We're imperfect. You're infinite, we're finite. We can barely wrap our minds and hearts around what we're supposed to pray for sometimes. And we have those four reasons and perhaps many others for why we don't pray or we don't pray more. And yet, Lord, thank you for this incredible invitation. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Thank you for the promise that we see in there. When we ask, oh, we receive. When we seek, we will find. When we knock, you are a God who loves to open doors. Help us to see, help us to appreciate that sometimes you open doors with a yes, sometimes you open doors with a no, And sometimes you open doors with a not yet. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust and we believe that you're good. We trust and we believe that you love us. We thank you that when we seek you with our whole heart, that you will be found by us. That when we pray to you, you listen to us and you answer our prayers. We thank you for the word of God, for the series. I pray that you would help these men and women to find the connection that you created us to live with in community, where we can grow in our faith and encourage one another. And God, I pray that you, in your perfect timing, would raise up the right number, the right people to serve in our children's, in our middle school, in our Rock ministries. God, we lift all these requests to a God who's so good and who loves us so much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.